The Old Testament lesson is from Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as it was in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your father you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to a completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart. For you are partakers with me of grace, and both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve of what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places will become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said during the midweek services I was going to look at three different words that really describe what Christmas is about. And last week, of course, we looked at the word rebel. This week, we're going to look at the word generosity. And generosity always gets everyone's attention, even the scroogiest among us. I invented a word. Scroogiest. Hey, the president can invent words, I can too. And when generosity is used correctly, it describes Christmas. We're going to talk about how Christmas is God's greatest gift to the world. And so last week we talked about rebelling against sort of that consumerism, debt, frenzy, everything that the world says is important. When we look at generosity, we're going to look at the how, why, and what about giving at Christmas. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to combine that with Matthew 2. I'm going to see if you can catch the connection of it. And you probably only will unless you read this. You wouldn't connect unless you read this. Yeah, I'm having problems with English tonight. I know, nothing new there. All right, Matthew 2. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went with them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. Yeah, those two texts actually do connect because they teach us about the how, what, and why about giving at Christmas. Both those passages, in the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the story of the three wise men, as we call it. Excuse me. Both of them teach us not to be Scrooges. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says of Christ's coming that the world received an indescribable gift. So what about this who, what, and why about giving at Christmas? Well, Jesus says to give to the least of these. In the great play, The Christmas Carol, which, by the way, none of the movies, no matter what version, I never realized this until I actually started reading the real book, is an abridged version of the story. Did you know that? Yeah, they take parts right out of it. Leave it to Hollywood. Anyway. Well, in there, one of the spirits takes Scrooge, and he's looking at two very emaciated children. And one is named Want, and the other one is named Ignorance. When Scrooge looks at these, he realizes these are kids that he had said of them. They should get a job. They need to get a good education and pull themselves up by their bootstraps. We have orphanages for that kind. And the last thing Scrooge said of these two kids, it's their fault. Scrooge said these things to absolve himself of any responsibility to them. Because if I say it's all their fault, then is it mine? Is it my fault they're like that?
No.
You get yourself into trouble? That's your problem. It's not mine. But Scrooge's words were actually an indictment or judgment on him. In that book is a great line, "Darkness was cheap and Scrooge loved it." Now see, wouldn't that be a great line in the movie? Okay, y'all didn't find that nearly as much fun as I did. You could use that in Star Wars, couldn't you? Darkness was cheap and Scrooge loved it. Okay, we're just going on. And the point of that scene then in that book was Scrooge had the resources and the opportunity to help. But Scrooge always chose the darkness. And what he left was then ignorance and want on their own. That ghost or spirit, whatever it was, taught Scrooge also that the obligation to help lived in him. Psalm 112 tells us, "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice." We can't rationalize what we do through inaction. We can't blame people for a lack of trying. And I'm going to get into why that, how that all connects into this Christmas story. See, before God, it says we will give an accounting for what we have done. What all that entails, that's one of those places where Scripture is a little vague on. But we do give an accounting for what we have done. And if you read through the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, very much have a duty to help other people without assigning why they're like that. Deuteronomy 15:11. "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land." Psalm 82 says, "Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hands of the wicked." How that whole thing with Scrooge fits in the Christmas story? What if God had said, they got themselves into this mess all on their own, referring to all of mankind, let them get themselves out of it? So where would we be heading? Straight to downtown New York City. I've quoted it, I know, on Thursday morning. The great philosopher Hank Williams Jr. once said, "If heaven isn't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Send me to hell or New York City, because to me, they're about the same." Yeah, think about that. If God said to us, "You got yourself into the mess, you get yourself out of it," as it was put politely, yes, the elevator button would go downstairs. Luke 12:48 tells us. Yeah, that is right. Luke 12:48 tells us, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Think about it. I said, if we got what we deserve from God, we would get hell. Instead, he is generous beyond belief and sends his son to die on the cross for us. And then he says, "Now that I have forgiven you everything, now take care of the least of these." From Ephesians 2:4-5, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Jesus said in Matthew 25, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of one of these of my..." Let's try that again. "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." So when we help people, do we do it because we get something in return? See, this is the great thing about it, especially at Christmas time, but throughout the year. We always have opportunities to help people that we're never going to meet until eternity. Helping means helping somebody without expecting I'm going to get something back. Helping is there's a specific need. I'm going to meet that one. And we're helping people to get the gospel. Yes, the gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the gospel for those downtrodden in life just need that message. You're not alone. God is with you. And the last thing when it comes to the giving of Christmas, it should be personal. Now, not that I have ever watched the show Friends. Although Jennifer Aniston's in that show, right? Okay, it might be worth watching it. Anyway, fantastic actress. Anyway, has nothing to do with her. What character does she play in that show? Rachel? Ben, how do you know that? Ay, caramba. Anyway, talking about giving should be personal. In that show, Rachel and Chandler forgot to buy the Christmas presents till it was too late. And they're going to have a Christmas party that night. So all the stores are closed, so they go to the gas station to buy Rachel's gift. So when Rachel opens up her gifts, she gets a pair of windshield wipers and an air freshener. Rachel reminds them and says, "You know I don't have a car." They looked at her and says, "We know that, but now you can pretend you do." Or it's kind of like the man who gave his wife a beautiful black Dodge Durango to pull his trailer that had his boat on it, and she hated fishing. Talking about giving should be personal. What does the person need most? What did God give us when we were in our greatest need? Showing through. What's the answer to everything in Sunday school? There you go. When all else fails. All right? When we were in the most need possible, God gave us Christ. Look at the gifts the Magi gave. In a way, they're very prophetic. Those gifts connect to being that Christ is our prophet, priest, and Savior. Christmas, God gave himself to us. The very thing mankind needed most, and no possible way we could take care of that. So God looked at all of us and said, "I will take care of the least of these." So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.